contacted Scott, and then I started looking into it. Well, there's different kinds of Bitcoin. You can invest in Bitcoin, but you can pay with Bitcoin. So then I started looking into Bitcoin and found out that I couldn't use any of the Bitcoins in the U.S., that none of them recognize Mexico, and I registered on a couple. Now, some of them, like CoinGate, Coinbase, some of these require a lot of information from you. Coinbase, and I gave them a lot of my information. And then they said I couldn't do Mexico. So then I started looking, and I was in my TV blog and everything, and I found out about Bitso. So remember this name, B-I-T-S-O. They're the Mexican Bitcoin, and how they operate is you just go to OXXO, pay your money from the company that you've got it. You get a email with a scan on it, and you just go to OXXO, you give them your money, they scan your phone, boom, like this, and the money is there.
Wow.
So the company is Bitso, B-I-T-S-O,
so
they're in Mexico.
So now, just to reiterate real quickly, so you've got an app on your phone, is that right?
An app? Yes, there's an app.
There's a Bitcoin app from Bitso on your phone.
But that's only after you scan in everything and then you go back in there and send the money. Now that's where I ran into the problems.
Well, where's your money?
Oh, I'm really confused, Linda. Did you pay OXXO?
Yeah, I paid at OXXO. Oh, okay. They scanned my phone and then it went into my account.
You paid with pesos.
Yeah, I paid with pesos.
Okay.
So I put 4,000 pesos into my Bitcoin account.
So that went into Bitso.
That went into Bitso. Then I went into my app.
Okay.
It took me a bit to find out how to pay somebody. So the TV company, after I went in and I ordered 10 subscriptions, gave me a code, number code, and a scan code. Well, I couldn't figure out how to get the scan code in there, so what I did was I copied the numbers and put them on my clipboard so that I could transfer, because when I went into Bitso, it didn't have any room for a scan code. So I just transferred the numbers that I had saved in there, and the money went in a couple minutes.
So I'm still... So you the money... OXXO put the money in Bitso?
Right.
And now you have it in your phone. You literally have it nowhere else but in your phone. It's
correct.
Like putting cash
in
the Bitso.
Right.
And then you had to use Bitso to pay your TV provider.
Correct.
And so how did you do that?
Yeah. I'm a bit confused, too.
Hold on. I'll get it. Give me a second.
Okay. Okay. So you go into Bitso, and you convert the pesos point.
Okay.
And then you go to another app, and you pay it. You send it out.
Well, another app.
Yeah. Well, it's in the Bitso, but it's another screen where you have your code.
Of course. Yeah, of course. I got you. Yeah, that makes sense. So
subscribing these companies.
What's happening? You have a unique identifier. No matter what app you're using, what matters is that you get it into Bitcoin, then you can send it out into that blockchain.
Right.
And so it does have nothing to do with this except it's one of the methods. But from within Bitso, you're able to give their unique identifier and send them that money.
A really long number. So you put that in.
I think the most amazing thing you've told us is that we can go to OXXO and get Bitcoin put into our wallets. That's amazing.
Now, another situation, and we don't have it here yet, but they have Bitcoin ATMs. They're in five places in Mexico, in big cities. They're in Guadalajara, Monterrey, Mexico City. And that was the other thing I learned, is now you'll be able to go right to the Bitcoin ATM, put your ATM card in there, money with your ATM card. I'm still learning this, and it is very confusing because it was where to find the screen to pay.
Yeah.
Also, you have to be really careful. This one, you need a no ID. You need nothing. You just go, and they don't take ATM cards for the pay.
You're talking about the app? You're talking about
Bitso?
I'm just thinking, like, wow, if you're working under the table, you could just be going to OXXO and sticking it in your wallet, sticking it in your wallet, right?
Outside of my email address, you know, my email and their password to them, they didn't require anything.
Right.
Coinbase, things in the U.S., want your driver. They want all kinds of ID from you, and I started with them.
So they can sell it to somebody.
And then I found out I couldn't use it in Mexico.
Well, I would imagine it's new fashions that are trying to keep track of this stuff. It's, they're staying out of trouble by tracking you up front instead of doing the legwork afterwards. I imagine that's why you're running into that.
In the U.S.?
In the U.S.,
well,
yeah.
Well, they say they're not available in Mexico. Then I was reading a bunch of people from that they're not available in Canada either. But then I went and I Googled Canadian app several... several groups. It all seems like it's going to the same place.
Well, the blockchain. I mean, it's all going to the blockchain.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, but your company you're paying has to have the...
That's the difference.
Right.
Yeah.
So this company that I'm paying, they've got it all set up for Bitcoin, but actually it'll be better.
I still like that model of going to OXXO and being able to because I mean it is like putting cash in your wallet.
Well, you know that scanner machine he's got there.
Yeah,
it's like going to pay your CFD bill there and stuff. He just took my phone.
Yeah,
on there he just took my phone and went to that scanner and scanned it right in.
Yeah, they sent and identify yourself with a QR code.
And by the time I got there,
yeah.
They said it takes 15 minutes to an hour, but it was in there in 10 minutes.
Do you have a preferred OXXO to do that? Which
no,
one?
I just went to... I was in Guayabitos, and I just went to the OXXO down the street. I paid my electric bill at that OXXO.
That is really smart for OXXO to get into this.
You obviously have to...
Correct, cash.
Bitcoin fluctuates like pesos.
But not for 10 minutes.
Oh, and actually, that's what that was one of my questions too. Is do you have any extra Bitcoin? Are you
no?
Okay, and
well, you're just clearing your account out each time you do a transaction.
You're using it like a PayPal.
Like a
PayPal. And right. In the U.S., you can actually use PayPal. And I started reading, and Microsoft, everybody's using Bitcoin for pay. So you can pay. But the thing is that they tell you, too, the code, you're doing this like you're going there paying and you're coming home and you're sending it out again.
Fixed.
Yeah.
So you don't get a fluctuation.
Yeah, you're not.
It would be interesting to put some money in Bitcoin. Would you be able to watch the fluctuation in the app you've chosen?
Yeah.
It would show you the fluctuation between... Oh, you said that, didn't you? You said it had 4,000 pesos worth in there and you...
But you know what the funny part was?
What's the 4,000 pesos worth?
In Bitcoin? Yeah, it would probably be fractions of a Bitcoin.
Okay, this website is using Bitcoin. BITSO. And it's
say that again?
Bitso, BITSO.
I'm going to look into it. Bob, I think the real question is, who wouldn't use Bitcoin if it's going to be that easy to use? I mean, one of the questions I'm always asked is, how do I get a hold of Bitcoins?
That doesn't sound easy.
No, okay, so what you do
Oh, it's so much easier than the way it's going right now.
Okay, so what you do is, you put it in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it says hidden balance. But you put it in as pesos,
yeah.
And then you convert it to the Bitcoin. In the screen where you're going to pay. So see here, then I can add the funds now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because you've got Bitcoins, and you say how many pesos
right,
you want
I have
pay.
No Bitcoins in there, because what I did was I put 4,000 pesos in, and I converted them to Bitcoin, and I sent them right out.
Right.
This isn't the investing part.
That's very cool.
This isn't the investing part.
So if you had a balance, it wouldn't increase with the value?
Well, you're using this as like a bank.
Yeah, but a bank.
But you're not using this for investment.
I knew what the value is.
You're using it like PayPal. You're going to put the money in and
it's
taking the money
it's
out.
It's cash transactions, digital cash transactions.
Yeah.
And this is easy. This is so much easier than what we're dealing with right now. If you can just take money into an OXXO and have it put into your Bitcoin wallet, you're ready to go. All you need now are the transat the
people that use it.
Oh, what did OXXO charge you?
Oh, it was really small, like 50 cents or something. OXXO didn't hardly charge anything, but the Bitcoin does charge you.
Why wouldn't you be better off just using a credit card?
Because they won't take it. Remember, okay, first of all, this company's hidden somewhere in Indonesia. I don't know where they are. But like I said, the credit card was going to a travel agency in England. So who knows where these people are.
Move on.
And you don't know on a lot of stuff what you're buying, where these people are. So, and you're incognito. That's the biggest thing.
How about the camera on the ATM machine?
Well, what's wrong with that? What do you mean?
Well,
taking
it. Pulling out of my ATM.
The ATM.
The money out with my ATM card, and then went to OXXO and gave them pesos.
So OXXO won't take cash. You couldn't use a credit card.
No, I tried to use the ATM card. Because the guy said, I don't know, he says, I've done this a couple times, and he said, I can't remember, and he spoke English, so that was helpful for me. But then we tried it with the ATM card, and it said cash.
This was in Wyabidi.
It wasn't here, but they all have the same. It's that like that scanner they use when you go in and pay them the electric bill. So he just put my phone up to the scanner. Huh?
When do you go pay again?
When do you have more? 10, so keep going in there.
Yearly, so it's not like you have to go every month.
Well, I go whenever I have to pay subscriptions.
But they're yearly subscriptions.
Yeah, but I have people coming up, like I just did 7 of them.
Okay.
So I figured I'd buy a lot instead of.
I'll be curious to see what kind of luck's over here.
I don't see why I wouldn't. Because I've paid my electric bill, gotten my electric bill. I've got walked into the OXXO and paid it. I paid my Telmex bill down there. So I don't think it really matters.
Actually, they get a little fee, and that's good business for OXXO.
It wasn't that much of a fee, too. It was really cheap. Like when you do your electric bill, they charge you that little fee on your electric bill. They don't do it for free.
Well, what I like about it is, like you can imagine, there's a large population of people around here that don't have credit cards, may not even have ATM cards, but they all have smartphones. You can buy a smartphone for under $100 now.
Yeah.
So this is a real easy way to have secure cash with
you.
Why don't you?
Because it's going to fluctuate.
Yeah, you don't. You're not leaving it in there. You're like putting it in, and immediately within 15 minutes, because you get these codes.
Yeah.
So you're immediately taking the money out, sending it out. You're not leaving it in there. This isn't an investment Bitcoin.
Well, it's still a Bitcoin wallet, though. You're not. There's no time limit to when you use it.
Oh, yeah, because some of them gave you like 10, 15 minutes.
Are you talking about the
to
person?
To get your money. Yeah, the person you're paying.
Yeah, so
they give you the code for like 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, so that's a transactional time limit for the person
correct.
Receiving the money.
Your money can
but that's
it,
not.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, OXXO is not going to take a security risk. I mean, a currency risk.
Well, all they've done is passed it on.
Yeah.
They've taken it in
instantly.
And passed it to you as quickly as possible.
Yeah, you've given them the cash.
In a month, I'd like to hear how it's working for you then.
Well, I'd like to get the app and just put like $20 in Bitcoin and sit on it.
Yeah,
and see how bad a fluctuation it is.
So this is it. So then you can add. Now I have zero.
Yeah.
And then I can add the funds. Then I can send it.
Right.
Then you can buy.
Oh, yeah. Can you? How do you? How would you buy?
To pay.
Well, that's it. It's a new thing.
Tells you what you want to buy. And you click on one of them.
Oh, wow.
Remember we all used to use.
No, we need to play with it more.
Yeah, we need to play with it more.
Yeah, that's cool. That's.
This was my first. I spent all day trying to figure this out. So it wasn't like it was a 15-minute thing. But I finally got it figured out.
Well, thank you, Linda. That's great information.
Yeah, did you get a confirmation? That you had actually paid them.
Let's move on.
You could have printed it out.
It came in my email.
But again, that's not a Bitcoin topic. You understand that. Okay.
That was about
next subject.
20 minutes.
Okay.
I got the confirmation.
You need a report back in 2 weeks.
The other thing I wanted to discuss was CASA, the plug-in internet things like for the lights and all that from Amazon.
You're talking about the smart plugs?
Yeah, the TP smart plugs.
Okay.
Discuss that?
I wasn't planning on it, but well, let's see. We've got other people with questions.
Okay.
Let's come around to that. Give me a. Judy, you had your hand up earlier.
With regards to the federal banking system not recognizing marijuana stores, what would the guys, the men and women of one of these stores in Colorado be thinking when they hear about this?
I don't know.
I mean, they spend a lot of money on security. Other stuff, if they could just go to the local 7-Eleven or whatever, they start with the Bitcoin.
I would imagine that OXXO is in strength of how much money they can take in anonymously. 4,000 pesos probably wouldn't raise any red flags. $10,000 probably would.
Yeah, because...
Explain where it came from.
Yeah, but speaking of that, because if you go... but Coinbase, which is the biggest one... it's like $100 because somebody on the web IPTV website said that they went there and they tried, they would only let them put in $100. So there's probably
okay. We've got lots of requests to move on. I wanted to ask Judy what her question was.
My question was I signed up for Claro Video at Telmex. And they said, oh, yeah, just download, it'll be on your TV. Well, on my Vizio TV, it is not.
There is no Claro Video app.
There is not.
So,
and so it says if it's not in the app store, which is not really an app store, but if it's not there, you cannot get it.
Okay, so if it's not there, you could get it on a different device.
I can get it here.
Yeah, so if you had an Apple TV, you could get it there. If you had a Roku, you could get it there.
Internet.
If it's Roku?
I'm sorry?
Roku, you can get it?
No. You can get Claro Video?
No, I can't.
No?
No, you get everything that shows up, but you get nothing as far as the real program.
You can't download it. Oh.
I mean, there is an app because I downloaded it on my iPad.
I wonder if you guys are you? I'm imagining that you don't have a Mexican Roku account.
That's what I'm going to do next. I got a spare Roku. I was going to sign it up in Mexico and see what happens.
I suspect that you'll find Claro Video there and working under Roku.
Try that for next
Mexico.
Mexico. There, I bet that it's not available in the States. Another one you could get it on would be the Fire Stick. They should have an app that you could get it on. You might look and see if your Vizio... No, because you're doing Apple stuff. If you're doing an Android thing, you might be able to screen share to the Vizio TV and do it on your device and have it shared over to your TV.
Well, I've done it on here.
Yeah.
So I could actually screen share it.
You could get one of those Lightning to HDMI cables and you could come to the TV set and do it that way.
Don't they have a dongle with Telmex for the dumb TVs to plug it into your HDMI?
You know what? You're right. They do. They have a Claro Video dongle.
Yeah.
They do. I completely forgot about that. They
tell me.
Yeah, it would.
What?
Because you can just plug it into your TV set, and it's on one of your HDMI connectors.
What's that cost?
It's like a Roku that's specifically for Claro Video. I completely forgot about it. Do you remember what it was like? It was a nominal fee. I was going to say like 300 pesos or 400 pesos.
Problem solved.
Yeah, no, that's great. I totally forgot they had their own device. Great info, Jim. Thank you. This is great. Here are topics I never even thought about. Claro Video.
I'm going to get my dongle.
Device. Get your dongle on.
No.
And that's the title of this episode. Yes, Christine.
I have an update on TCS.
Yes.
They said they can provide me with the U.S. connection. I'd have to get a new router for 1,500 pesos and then pay another 250 a month.
I thought it was 150.
I don't remember. Anyway, so I thought
Can I reiterate?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, you sent me the email they sent you. They made it very clear that you could use, they figured out you can use Smart DNS with their satellite system, but it requires two things. It requires that you have an alternate router, so you'll have two routers in your house, which is not a big deal, and that you...
One of the routers being the Telmex router?
Wait, we're not talking about Telmex. We're talking about
One of the routers being... TTS's router?
Both need to be configured specifically for their systems, but the crucial part of this is that you need to purchase a static IP address from them and you pay a higher monthly fee. There's an additional 150 pesos a month for that static IP address. With that and an alternate router, then you'll be able to use systems like Smart DNS.
Well, why would they have a static IP that's in the U.S.?
You need a static IP for your connection here. That's the issue right now. Is what the way they've built their system is they've used the same kind of technology as if you were to expand your wireless in your house. So it's a big fictitious network broadcasting across San Carlos. Smart DNS can't sort out their IP address. Well, I can't get into the tech. I don't know the technical specifics, but their solution makes sense technically. If you were to purchase your own static IP address, then there would be here at your house one specific place the data would come to. You would register that with Smart DNS, which is a responsibility that sounds greater than it actually is, something that would happen automatically. And it would know where to send back the Netflix content. So technically it makes sense. They can, since static IP addresses are in short supply, it makes sense that they would have a fee associated with having one. But it seems to be the solution that they're offering. So you're paying 500 pesos for a satellite connection to internet. If you want to be able to use the Smart DNS, you're paying an additional 150 on top of that, so it's 650. For that 10 megabits a second. And Jim, you wanted to comment on that.
The second router, does it have to be theirs or can it be your Netgear?
Technically, I suspect it doesn't matter. I think maybe they're offering that just because they would set it up and have it ready to go and stick it in there. I mean, I'm sure people like yourself or me could talk to them and say, hey, I've already got a router. Can you just tell me how to set it up?
Because charge the extra.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because that's really where the extra fee is, that IP address. When they give you a static IP address, they're pulling from resources that they have. So it costs them to give you that number.
How many people are using Smart DNS in this?
That's a good question, Buck. How many people are using Smart DNS in here?
What am I using?
I was.
So you're using Smart DNS? Yeah. Yeah.
And why would you use it?
Again, to get content as though you were in the United States, in lieu of a VPN.
In lieu of a VPN.
Yeah, to accomplish the same task that people are accomplishing with VPN.
Could you sit there and if you own a domain, can you have it go to your domain?
You have the satellite go to your domain?
No. I have a domain.
Mm-hmm.
I own a domain. I have a company called No IP that it doesn't matter if...
Right. If you change the IP address...
right now, and Comcast every once in a while decides that they'll change your IP. So it, within 30 minutes or so, changes my domain to reflect that on DNS.
Right. It's interesting. I don't know how... I mean, what you're describing, which is what I use for, it's the reason we don't have an audio stream going out right now, because I didn't put my no IP domain setup back in my router. So nobody can find the audio stream right now. But as far as these satellite dishes, if you look at what they're connecting to, they're connecting you to a bogus NAT environment, very similar to how you run things in your house. So technically, I don't know what the constraints are on that. But we do know from experience, Smart DNS does not run across it natively.
Does Smart DNS cost anything?
Yes.
It does.
Yeah.
So VPN also costs.
Did you hear Maggie? Say that again.
$17
a year.
$17 a year. And there's a coupon.
Yeah.
You can get it cheaper than that.
Jim's saying that you can find online coupons to get it cheaper than that.
And Scott converted my Buffalo router to Smart DNS.
Yeah, if you have one of these routers that you've been using for VPN and you've given up on it because, I mean, Hide My Ass or Whitopia or any of these other VPN providers and you've given up on it, you can convert that, most of the time you can convert that kind of router to use the Smart DNS system. So that's what we did with Chester's. We just upgraded the firmware in it because it was out of date and we set it up for the Smart DNS services. If it's running that DDWRT software, you can even set it up so that it's updating itself automatically so you have no administration with it later.
Who runs DNS?
And you do get a free VPN with it.
Who runs that?
Bob, did you hear that?
No.
This is I have yet to take advantage of it, but there's a VPN for free if you're a Smart DNS customer. So they do have VPNs.
Four or five VPNs all around the world. There's two or three in the United States, and they're free. So if you want to do watch your TV, you use the Smart DNS redirect because it's faster than a VPN. Doesn't cut down your bandwidth. If you want to do your secure banking, you activate their free VPN, and you've got totally secure VPN with a slow connection. But for doing typing and everything else, it's great.
Yeah, Irving.
So on the DNS, the homeless bandwidth, does that mean that you can use that to, let's say, you get full content from Amazon Prime?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you've got a Prime account in the States, then you could use
full content, the same with Netflix.
Same with Netflix, that's right. That's actually what I really appreciate about Smart DNS and what Chester, our most recent experience, and Maggie's had that experience too, where it's a minimal setup and it's amazing results for being able.
There was one complication. I have a Sony device to, in fact, a DVD, a smart DVD. That Sony would not accept Amazon Prime.
Oh, yeah.
I had to switch to Ruko in order to get Netflix and Prime.
On the same device.
On the same device.
But that doesn't reflect on Smart DNS. That's just Sony not providing a lot of apps for its device that Chester was using. But it was a great example of how you can easily change that location for those services, for Amazon Prime, for Netflix, things of that nature. Whereas,
I can do it. Scott can do it.
What I like about the Smart DNS is that they are selling you access to those services. That's their product. It's not, they don't have something to sell unless you can access Netflix, if you can and so all this onus is on them to keep it working. Whereas with the VPN providers, that's not usually the case. They will help you. They understand that their systems are used for things like that, and they have chat, and they have customer support, and they'll walk through. But all the onus is on you. You are administering your device. You are the one setting all that stuff up. When they ask you, they give you changes. You have to make those changes.
But that doesn't incur additional costs just to your subscription costs. Is that accurate?
Yeah, in either case, you get that kind of customer support. I guess what I'm saying is after you've got your router set up for Smart DNS, you're done. All you do is check on the status. You see, if you're not getting Netflix or Hulu or Amazon the way you expect it to, then you go to your account and see what the status is. They might be having a problem getting to Netflix at that moment, and you're done. You wait until they fix that problem. Whereas if you're running a VPN and you lose access and you get a hold of your provider, they're like, oh, well, you may need to change your location. And they walk you through how to get into the location on your device and how to change those settings on your device. And so you're working intimately with them to make the kind of changes that you need to get the same experience. Whereas if you're with Smart DNS, you just close everything up and go play golf or fishing and come back, and later in the day it's probably working.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Reactivate it.
So I already have a second router under the TV. Could I use that?
Maybe. We'd have to talk to them about that to see if that would work. It's not... I guess it is currently working as a router. No, it's working as an access point right now, I think. Okay. Yeah. But it could be set up to work as a router if that's what's necessary.
Well, the other thing we did at a customer's house of mine, okay, my TV service, you cannot have a VPN on your router. So she wanted a VPN, so she went and got another router, and we set that up with the VPN in the other on the other TV in the other room.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
On my TV service, and some of these TV services, you can't have a VPN because they obviously have their own setup, and you can't. But I also just wanted to add another thing on this. I went and had a problem, and I had to put the VPN on in order to get into Medicare.
Oh, wow.
You might ask if the new people have a question.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thought, Bob.
The Epic browser has the built-in VPN, so you can get into Medicare with it.
Yeah, the Epic work on iPads or phones.
It does not. It works on my MacBook.
Oh, so you've got it on Macintosh, but not on the devices. Okay. So, yeah, there's that.
Just a heads up.
The Epic browser's been very successful at doing things, but somebody told me there was on Android. I haven't looked for it on Android, but somebody told me there's an Android version of the Epic browser.
I thought there was.
Yeah.
And Opera has a built-in VPN now, too.
Yeah, it's... Not as good as it used to be, but yeah.
It's good enough if you're just trying to get Social Security or Medicare or one of those.
Bob had a suggestion. Do we have any new people with us that brought questions with them? Maybe something we haven't heard before.
What am I doing?
No, nothing?
I think Irving's next.
I think, Irving, did we get to your issue?
I just wanted to mention the fees involved with it. But that's passed already a long time. There are fees associated with the Bitcoin.
Small.
Yeah, well, I know exactly what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's a seller and a buyer. Mm-hmm. The seller being the person that's supplying it, the buyer. So combined, it comes to a little over 1%, that being about a 0.5% to the person that's making the transaction.
Yeah, and actually the transaction maker is the verifier. It's not the buyer or the seller. And that's the incentive for them to continue to double-check these transactions, is that they get that little micro bit out of it, and it shows up in their system as new bitcoins.
And if there's volume, it decreases. And the
right.
Volume, because they take a time zone, I think it's 1 minute, and they combine all of the transfers into that.
Yeah, that is really what keeps the Bitcoin system stable, is all these verifiers that are out there. I'm calling them verifiers. You've heard them referred to as miners. That's essentially what they're doing, is they're verifying the blockchain. And you need more than 51% consensus to say that that's a legitimate transaction. It's the way it keeps it from being taken advantage of. You can't have these rogue transaction makers out there. It can't happen. It's the whole essence of the transaction is that it's been verified with more than 51%. By verifying, these miners get rewarded with these small little fractions of a Bitcoin that are part of the transactions you're making, and how it physically comes out is it pops out as a Bitcoin, pops out in Bitcoin volume.
Also, once you've done it, if you don't get the record, it seems like it's disappeared. Like, I went back in there to see about my transaction.
Yeah.
I couldn't find it.
And it's gone.
It's gone.
So well, it's definitely in the blockchain, and it's definitely associated with your unique identifier.
You're right.
And the unique identifier is part of your wallet.
Right.
And that's where I was saying, like, in the United States, it's not surprising that a place like Coinbase might start out with your name, your address, some references, because these are not anonymous transactions. Maybe one-offs could be considered anonymous transactions. But your wallet is associated with your phone. Your phone has a unique identifier that identifies you on the network. Mm-hmm. It is just work to figure out who's doing these transactions. It's not anonymous. I can imagine some one-off transactions, maybe mafia types or getting burner phones, loading it up once, converting and but even still, that transaction's going off to a unique identifier. I guess you could have a burner phone with a unique identifier holding money in a wallet in a safe turned off, and that would be a way you could hang on to your bitcoins anonymously. But the moment you decided to use those for transactions, they would be traced. They would have the ability to be traced.
It's like serial numbers on bills.
Yeah, very much so.
I have a question.
Yeah, Bob.
Jim mentioned the dongle from Telmex.
For Claro Video.
Right. Okay, what kind of a plug does it have? And is there such a thing as a multiple plug device that you can get? Because I got all my plugs filled.
Yeah. Jim, do you want to answer it or I could answer it?
Go ahead. I think it's an HDMI.
I'm fairly certain it would be an HDMI connector, like any modern TV has. Mm-hmm. And then it probably has a USB power plug on it, so you'd have to plug it in for power. That's at least how the Roku and the Fire Sticks work.
Okay. Do they have multiple?
And then you're asking about multiples. I would check out the Stern store there where the old Blockbuster used to be in Wimas.
Okay.
Because what they sell are these multiple HDMI in adapters. So you can plug in an HDMI cable to your monitor and have like four ports off of it. Mm-hmm. And there's typically a button that would allow you to switch between which input you're using.
Okay.
Wouldn't be wireless. I haven't seen a wireless one. I'm sure they exist, but I haven't seen one. So if you're using that arrangement, you have to go up, buy the connections, and physically change the input.
Get out of your chair.
What? Yeah, you got to get out of your chair to change your input.
Scott.
Yes.
You can get them with a remote to change the...
You can? That's what I haven't seen yet, is the wireless ones. Do you know if they're available at Stern?
That I don't.
Yeah. Well, you could probably find one on Amazon without too much trouble.
J&G will order that stuff for you, too.
Will it?
The J&G?
You're talking about J&G Computers?
And Wimas Norte. They'll,
yeah.
They'll order.
They'll order one of those with a remote?
I don't know about
they have them at Stern. They probably have them at Stern.
Yeah.
They've got many...
Stern's,
everything.
Yeah, it's a great store to go into. It's the Radio Shack I remember from my youth. It's just got all those things that you could imagine.
Same,
it's across from Dairy Queen. It's behind McDonald's. It's where the old Blockbuster used to be.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I did bring a couple of topics I thought you guys would find interesting. Probably what I should have started out with is that you guys were right about that discount card. Yuya was telling me that she just had it confirmed that with this new administration, they have rewritten their rules. If you thought that you were not getting the discount before, you definitely are not getting the discount now. That discount card, that it was intended for permanent immigrants as well as Mexicans, but the new administration has rewritten their laws to say only nationalized Mexicans can take advantage of that discount card. With the property tax.
Just property.
The other things on their list of discounts are still available, but who in this, I mean, you're not interested in a discount on the bus. You're not interested.
Yeah.
Airfare.
Oh, yeah, it's 50% off.
The office in
they're talking about the local bus.
No.
The office in Wimas has not honored that card in a long time.
exactly.
Well, and that's what's going on, is that it was supposed to be honored and they didn't, and then they updated their documentation to reflect, no, we're no longer gonna honor the. So I wanted to mention that because we talked about it a bit last week.
So what's the crowd good for?
Nothing.
No, it's yes, good it for, if Chester's right, as far as we're concerned, it's not worth anything to us.
Yes, it is.
That's not
yes,
true.
It is.
That's yeah. true.
Like if you're taking a bus
to Wymas.
Long distance bus. They allow a certain number of seats to be purchased with your senior card.
Now, from what I understand, the senior card is a Wymas thing. It's a local thing.
No. It's national.
Okay, so it sounds like you guys still want her to come in and talk about this, because I don't even know what I'm talking about. No, that sounds like a great reason to have the discount card. And you've bought tickets on it?
I have two.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. 50% off. And medicine, too.
Okay.
But I don't know what else.
So it sounds like we still want her to come in and talk to us about this.
Yeah, but how about TV? How about Tomax?
I don't know. I was under the impression it was a local thing.
No.
Okay. Well, the property taxes were explained to me as a local thing.
Yep.
As locally, they weren't going to honor it any longer.
We also need your number.
But she also told me that all the other discounts, I mean, it was specifically property tax that wasn't going to be honored. The other things on the list were still being honored. So, okay, great. I'll tell her that we're still interested in having her bring her skills to our meeting.
So the computer club gives good information every now and then. It's bad information.
That's right.
Every now and then.
Every now and then.
Good and bad.
And I want
yeah.
to know, she is really efficient on the Permanente.
Are you talking about my wife?
Yes. She did my permanent...
Hey, everybody should be listening. go ahead, Linda. I'm just playing.
You have to go... The best place to go is Nogales, because he will ask you if you want Permanente or you want the temporal.
Temporal.
So we took... Of course we took the Permanente. Why would you want that? I have another friend that went, and she went in Colorado, and they made her get... The temporal.
When I got my permanente, I didn't have to go anywhere. What?
You have to go to Nogales now, or your Mexican consulate in your state to start. But the Nogales, the guy in Nogales, first of all, speaks English.
At the 21 kilometer place?
No. You have to be in the U.S.
It's in Nogales,
on the U.S.
It's behind the Pizza Hut in Nogales,
Arizona.
My husband did the whole thing in about 5 weeks. We went up there to Nogales. We took our paperwork. You still need the 6 months bank statements, double copies. You need double copies of your passport, your driver's license, everything else. They take your 6 month visa, and they give you a 25-day visa.
What is this? Is this the discount card?
And then you come back down here, and I went
look at that.
To India. She took our pictures. She went and handled it. In about 3 weeks, she called, and we went downtown and got our card.
That's about what it took me.
If you go to Yuya,
she was really super.
Very cool.
If you go to Yuya,
pass that back down there
for anything. Yeah. You wait for 3 weeks, and she hands you your card. That's
yeah.
it.
Right.
Well, we have to go down to the...
Here.
Go to Yuya, his wife.
Oh. Yeah, Yuya. My wife does all this immigration stuff for people.
Yeah.
As well as translations and this discount card thing she's doing. And
speaking of his wife and translations, she went to the car dealer with me and then went to the license place because we had made a huge mistake. We bought our first car at the Chevy dealer. And then we decided it was too small, so we went and got a bigger one. But anyway, come to find out, you never want to buy a car here in December. You buy the car, they charge you the whole year for licenses and everything. And you have to turn around the next week and go get new ones. And we did not know that, and the car dealer did not tell us that.
Of course that's the way it works around here.
You didn't read the
phone.
You'll find out.
after we had to go to three different windows, she really helped me out by being able to translate what they were telling me, and we wound up paying a good size fine.
Wow.
Because we didn't know that, and they didn't tell me in the car dealership that I was going to have to go. I figured when I bought it 2 days before New Year's Eve,
it was good for the year.
The cars all come in here like at one time. So like when we were with the car dealer picking up the car, there had to be 10, 12 people in there waiting, picking up their cars. But they never told me that I was going to have to redo the license plate.
How about if you buy it in November?
No, you don't want to do it. You want to buy it like you buy it.
Yeah, you want to buy it in January so you can take full advantage of the whole year of registration.
Right, they don't. Yeah. They don't prorate your registration like they do in the United States.
Okay, all right. As much as I enjoy hearing the praisings of my wife and her services, this is not Car Club, and we need to get back to our topics. I had another topic that I thought you guys would find interesting. Apple has just announced that all military veterans will have access to their health records on their iPhones. So they've cut a big deal with the VA. This will be like 9 million people. This is the biggest healthcare system in the United States. And you will be able to sign in and have access to your labs and your treatments that are going on, your historic records, so that you'll have it available to share and show any medical professional you're dealing with.
Wow. Cool.
So
that's great.
This is an amazing change. Last March, Apple had announced that it is already in working with over 100 hospitals and 39 different healthcare systems throughout the United States. This really pushes it over the edge. This gives them quite a foothold in the healthcare market. I really appreciate this as well because their whole stick these days is security. And if they can make inroads in healthcare and security at the same time, I think we're moving more forward towards a centralized health system that will be everyone will be able to take advantage of.
Can you use a smartphone or it has to be an iPhone?
It has to be an iPhone because it's Apple.
Sure, yeah.
I would imagine. I mean, Google has its own healthcare stuff that it's trying to make its deals right now with. This is a significant portion. This is so significant that who knows the way Apple's doing, and I'm speculating, the way it's doing its services, this might end up being something it licenses out to other platforms. Yeah. Like, they maintain it, they manage it, they vet it. But they make it available on other platforms. I don't see that happening soon, though. They'd have to see it as like the Apple Music stuff makes sense. It's like we're making lots of money from services, but we could be making a lot more if we just opened it up to Android users. So they build an app on Android, and now their market is just exploding with music. They've made the same decision with iTunes movies and TV. They just announced at CES, and we talked about this before, that your new Vizio TVs, your new LG TVs and Sony TVs, and there's another name in there I'm not remembering at the moment, they are all going to have the ability to do AirPlay 2, and Samsung is the name I forgot to mention. Samsung actually has an iTunes app that it's releasing on its TV, so that you can watch those TV and movies that you've bought or rented through iTunes. So these TVs, you're going to be able to do movie buying and renting, TV buying and renting on your Apple device and send it to these TVs. But even on the Samsung, you're not even going to have to own an Apple device. You can just have access to those Apple services. I suspect this is a model that Apple's going to repeat every time it's successful. I think this VA stuff is going to be very successful, and we're going to watch it expand out into the Android world under Apple's preview.
It's like a sea trial.
Yeah.
This is on that thing. Telephones.
Yeah.
If you're out buying a telephone and you're buying a Apple, or you're buying a Samsung, or you're buying one of the better phones, it would behoove you to make sure that they have enough memory in them. Because I'm having people that call me, and they don't have any memory in them. And all of these apps take up a lot of memory. And so by putting on an app for this and an app for that and an app for that, and there's so much garbage on the phone to begin with. So if you're buying a phone from one of the vendors, like the telephone company, they have a lot of garbage on them. It behooves you to go through and get rid of all of it. Or buying a phone
intentionally with enough memory in it. Actually doing research.
Or Amazon or something that doesn't have, an open phone that doesn't have all the garbage on it, because you run out of space really quickly.
I would say that there are a lot of phones in the market, in the Android market, that have 1 gig of memory.
Yeah.
And if you find yourself buying an Android phone, you want to make sure it has at least 2. You should walk away from it unless it has 2 gigs of memory. You're going to have a lousy experience with under 2 gigs of memory. There is an Android version that's out now called Android Go. And Go has been set up to run in under a gig so that they can sell $50 phones, $80 phones with these low hardware points and still have them be effective. But I would say that right now, Android Go is a brand new thing. They're releasing phones with it, but they haven't been proven. And so I'd say if you're buying a phone tomorrow, you'd want to do your research and make sure it had at least 2 gigs of memory. You want to have.
Can a phone be upgraded?
Not in RAM. The RAM can't be upgraded.
I have a chip that I put in.
You can put a chip in Android phones.
Not everything will go to it.
And that's the thing, is you really want the latest Android versions. And the latest Android versions, you can move stuff over, or it happens automatically. The Android phone that you might be looking at, you definitely want to be able to put a memory chip in it. And the one you buy, besides 2 gigs of memory, you want at least 16 gigabytes of space inside the phone. At least 16 gigabytes. With that phone, you'll be able to do the bare minimum with a good user experience. And that same phone, 2 gigs of RAM, 16 gigs of storage, a quad-core processor or more, it's not going to cost you more than $150.
Let me say this. The reason I brought this up is I ran into somebody, she called me, and she bought a phone over at Telcel. There was so much garbage in it, we had to sit there and take it all out, and she still doesn't have enough space. The minute she started putting in apps, it was over with. So that's a problem with and buying the inexpensive phones. Also, making sure that, like he said, that you're up to date on your on the version, because they're all the way up almost to 9.1, and a lot of these phones are clear back at 4.4.
Yeah.
And they're not upgrading them, and that's another problem.
You
buy the phone and they don't upgrade it.
That's the other thing, is if you're looking at a discount phone, make sure the Android version is higher than 5. Or let's just say 6. 6 and higher. 6 and higher, because they've abandoned 5. So you have security problems with an Android phone that's 5 or lower.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at a phone to buy, make sure it's 6 or higher.
But even at 6, how long is it going to be good for?
Well, how long are you concerned about a $100 and $150 phone?
Oh, that's right.
Right now, you'd probably be upgrading it in a year or two anyway. I've got other topics. There's just one last one I wanted to make sure to hit before we close up this meeting. If you are still using Firefox, the Firefox browser is one of the fastest browsers right now. This latest release, 65, is having problems because of antivirus software if you're running Avast or AVG. It will have problems. It'll give you HTTPS errors. So if you've got Firefox, it's just been updated, you're using one of these third-party antiviruses, there's a lot to get out of this problem. I don't think you should be using a third-party antivirus right now. If you're running Windows 10, you should be using Windows 10 antivirus. So your solution is to uninstall Avast or uninstall AVG. You should not be using those products any longer. There's also a lot of controversy over this topic. Mike, did you want to add some real quick?
Yeah, I thought my retirement thing got hacked yesterday from an email I got.
Yeah.
And we have malware bits and a bunch of others, and then I started downloading AVG. It froze my computer, and I couldn't get it to unlock the whole thing.
You were trying to install it, and it wouldn't... Yeah,
so I unplugged it, let the battery run down to zero, woke up this morning, plugged it in, and it was okay.
Yeah, okay.
But,
Don't do AVG.
I would just avoid AVG like measles.
You should be avoiding third-party antivirus software.
Well, the fellow at the...
Use Microsoft.
The fellow that I talked to at
good point.
The retirement thing said... I said, I ran a malware bike. And he says, you know what? We detect all users of malware bikes. He said, we love it.
Well, you know what I wanted to share out of this that I found very interesting is that this HTTPS filtering is a controversial topic because the antivirus programs have to actually break your security to filter it, to see what's inside what's coming to you. Like Firefox is allowed to see what's coming to you because that's the end of that transaction. For an antivirus program to see what's inside it, they have to break that security and look inside it before Firefox gets a chance to view it. And that's where this issue is coming from. Firefox has locked down their security certificates so that Firefox uses a different set of security certificates than is in Windows. Your antivirus package doesn't have access to that. They have access to the Windows certificates, but Firefox is not using the Windows certificates. They're using their own certificates. And the other thing that happens is that the antivirus installs its own certificate, its own self-signed certificate in the Windows cache. So that is not considered a secure certificate because it is signed on the fly. It's not verified by security out there on the Internet. All this comes down to me is you shouldn't be using third-party antivirus in the first place. You are actually creating a security hole by using third-party, and you shouldn't be using it. You should be using Microsoft Defender that comes with Windows 10. And if you're not running Windows 10, I'll give you a lot of arguments for running Windows 10, but if you're using an old version of Windows, then there's arguments for using these third-party softwares because Microsoft's version wasn't that great in those versions. Another thing to derive from this, did you know Avast owns AVG? I didn't. This happened, Avast. This happened at some point in our computer club history. I mean, I don't know. You guys remember we found Avast. We found AVG. These were great antivirus programs back in the day. AVG was I think it was like a Czechoslovakian development team that put it together.
It's not even a country anymore.
Yeah? I mean,
Czech Republic.
Yeah, it was something like that. So at some point in the last 15 years, Avast bought AVG. And I didn't know that till this morning when I was going through this article. So there's something interesting to know.
Scott.
Yeah. The way this bug works is that anywhere that you might go to HTTPS will block your access. So you know you have this problem if you're running Firefox and it's telling you, can't get to website. Mm-hmm. I heard somebody calling out for a question.
Just a follow-up on that. It turned out it was my accountant who hacked in my account.
It was your accountant. Okay.
Because I gave her the way to get in, and it came from a different town. I said, "What the fuck?" Everything's okay. Nothing got taken.
Yeah, Gary.
I forgot what his name
is. Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Anybody else?
I'll come back to me maybe.
Yes.
A couple weeks ago, we were talking about electrical surge protection.
Yes.
So in the Riscotti book. There's this company called Campania Victa, offers whole house electrical surge protection, 750 pesos. It looks like it goes right on your power panel.
It does.
Is that Big Don's thing?
It's like Big Don's.
Big John died.
Yeah. The reverence and sensitivity is overwhelming. He was. He was one of my favorite people. He was great.
And he was
great. You're losing. We've lost 30. We've lost one third of our people.
Well, we are 10 minutes over our end time, so I expect people to funnel out at the end. I hit the topics I care about. Fred, did you have a question?
Well, I tried to get on Amazon Prime Mexico.
Okay.
And unless you have a Mexican credit card, you cannot buy it.
Yes, you can.
You can pay cash.
Yes, you can.
Go ahead.
If you order, don't get on Prime. Just order something cheap, like a $10 necklace for somebody or something like that. And pay with your regular credit card, but not in Prime, just on Amazon Mexico. You're going to get an email follow-up after that. So, geez, you ought to join Prime. And that's what I did. I joined.
And it works.
They let me use that credit card because I'd already used this, that credit card in the system.
Ah. This is an awesome hack. I had no idea that worked. The
you've empowered me, baby.
That is awesome. Because when I signed up for Prime, I went like Fred did. I went directly there to do it. And it needed a Mexican payment method, and I used a Mexican debit card. And I authorized everything, and then after I had the Prime account, I immediately removed the debit card. And that because I have a Cibanco account, I was able to do that. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, I've always used my American credit card for all my purchases. But if I had known that, I would have just made a purchase without Prime.
Yeah, you know, $5, $10.
Yeah.
Can you order them?
Oh, yeah, I got you this little gift just out of my heart.
Right.
Yeah. Is it Mexican Prime or American Prime?
No, type stuff.
Bob, hold on. I think it's... Say that again, please.
Prime?
Yes, all the time. It does. Now, the difference between Prime in Mexico and Prime in the United States is that, first of all, it's a lot cheaper. It's like $45 to $50 a year. The Prime, the catalog of what can take advantage of Prime is smaller than in the United States.
It's going to be like Netflix.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then...
Over time, next 3 years will be unbelievable.
Right. I mean, what they're doing, they've got warehouses in Mexico, and there are a lot of things that are available for Prime shipping, but there's just nowhere near the amount that's available for Prime shipping in the United States.
The other big issue is that their prices are higher on the same products.
Yeah.
Considerably higher on most.
I have to disagree, and I think that it matters what you're going after.
It's NAFTA.
Or it's tariffs with China, because, you know, I told you my experience during the Christmas holiday. I needed some connectors. They were available in Mexico. Though I was on American Prime, I didn't realize I had my Mexican address set as my default shipping address, and they were showing me one price, and I was about to do the order, and I'm like, oh, wait, no, I need these to be in the States because that's where I'm going to be for Christmas. So I change it to my U.S. mailing address, cost me $1.50 more. And it depends on the product that you're interested in. I have seen a number of products be sold cheaper in the Mexican market than being sold in the U.S. market.
So you have Mexican Prime?
As well as U.S. Prime, yeah.
Oh, you have both?
I have both.
Why do you have both?
Well, because there are still products that I can't get in Mexico. Sid and I just ordered something that was going to cost us an additional $60 to have it sent down here.
The difference in the price on those was the sales tax. We sent it to our friend Justin in Idaho.
Yeah.
And it's picking up the Idaho sales tax.
Oh, that.
Where if I sent it to Alaska, there wouldn't be any sales tax, and that's what the difference in the price was.
So it was more expensive in Idaho than it was in Mexico. But the shipping was insane because we're in Mexico.
I was sending it to Mexico.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
$150
for a $9 thing.
That's imports. That's not sales tax. Yeah. Whereas the $9 thing cost $1.50 more because it was being bought in Idaho.
Yeah.
Because of the sales tax.
Electronics are kind of funny down here, but I bought a refrigerator down here.
Yeah.
That was almost $700 less than it would be in the U.S. It's a Samsung, but it was manufactured in Mexico. And I purchased
it. And it was cheaper here?
Oh, much.
Yeah.
Much cheaper.
Hey, to go back to what Prime includes, the other thing is that their video, their audio, and their books are all a different catalog than you would find Prime in the United States. Anything that Amazon owns is available. Just like Netflix. If Amazon produced it and paid for it, then it's available all over wherever Amazon is. If it's somebody else's content, if it's CBS's content or it's NBC or Fox or one of these other, they had to cut a deal with the distributor for copyright law rights in this country. And so that's different than the deal in the United States. So there's a whole catalog of stuff that's only available in the United States that is not available in Mexico. But that catalog will grow as well, just like Netflix did.
When the government gives money to an organization, what's that called?
Subsidy.
A what?
Subsidy.
Subsidy.
Yeah.
Amazon is being subsidized by the U.S. government. Saw that yesterday.
Yeah.
Subsidized.
Subsidized.
There are people saying, why in the hell is Amazon being subsidized?
Is this that reference to the postal, them getting breaks on postal fees?
I don't know.
Because I know that Amazon, there's been this controversial perspective on the way that they do their business with the post office. And
could be.
Yeah, my niece's husband, who works for Amazon in Arizona, was explaining to me that it's a misunderstanding of how their relationship works. They have taken on a number of the post office's duties specifically for their customers because they have so many customers that they can save money by not making the post office deal with it. The post office,
pre-sorting.
They've got Amazon warehouse facilities specifically for pre-sorting post office deliveries. And the post office gives them a discount on their rate because they don't have to sort it. They just have to pick it up. And so it's a misunderstanding in the industry. They call it a subsidy that they're getting these breaks.
People misunderstand junk mail too. They think junk mail must be a tremendous burden on
the postal service.
If they didn't have junk mail, you wouldn't get letters anymore. There would be too little.
They're like TV advertisements.
Too
they're traffic. Paying the bills.
Too little traffic.
Yeah.
See, all your mail is junk.
That's right.
99% of my mail is junk because nobody writes me letters anymore. I mean, Christmas time I might get a few cards.
I think it's good to be thinking about this kind of stuff because the junk mail, just what you said there, I'm trying to get out of your way there, Bob, so you can hop over it.
The president hates Bezos, so.
It's a question of who the customer is again. And in the case of a U.S. guaranteed service, we should be asking that question all the time. I mean, the Postal Service is part of our government, so shouldn't we always be the customer? Whereas what's happening is we get inundated with junk mail because that's what's paying for the service. Yeah. So maybe the question is, should it still be part of our government? I mean, I don't think there's easy answers to these questions, but it's good to be asking them.
What would happen is private companies would just do mail in the major cities where it's cheap because you can walk from place to place from mail.
Right,
mail.
Yeah.
And nobody in the country would get mail anymore.
That's
or it would cost them $12 a
letter. Yeah. What's up, Eric?
On Smart DNS.
Yes.
So you can use it on a TV, right?
Yes.
The subscription I see is $25 a year for a 2-year subscription, which is okay.
Yep.
Can you use it on more than one TV in your house?
Well, that's what we were discussing with Chester, is you can set it up on a router so that it will affect everyone on that network. So you
would it be my current router?
Yeah, well, your current Telmex router, no. You'd have to have an alternate router that goes through Telmex.
I'd probably have another router.
Yeah. Depending on the kind of router you have, it could either be set up so that it's working, but if you lose power, you'd have to go to Smart DNS and reauthorize it. Or, I mean, depending on what kind of router it is, you might be able to set it up so it just automatically does that. It's very stable. A lot of people are using it.
Can you look at my system and see and arrange it for me?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Whenever you'd like.
As soon as you're available.
Okay, you, let me shut this down because we're done. And let me just say, this has been the San Carlos Computer Club, and I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. As you can see, people are funneling out. We meet Tuesdays here at Tequila's from 9:15 to 10:15-ish, and we try and answer your tech questions on the fly with no research. So there's a lot of crap that gets said. Don't hold me to the crap. If you're looking for help anywhere on the internet, I'd appreciate it if you'd get a hold of me at International Computer Solutions, internationalcs.net. You can write me, Scott, at internationalcs.net. If you've enjoyed this recording, I'm glad that I kept all the coughing until the end. And it's that cucumber again, damn it. It's stuck in my throat. Get a hold of me. If you're interested in more recordings like this, check out our website, sccclub.org, or check out our YouTube channel, youtube.sccclub.org. That's it. I'm done. Keep calm. Tech on. I will see you next week. Everybody, have a great week.
You're going to be a stand-up comedy pretty soon.
At some point, yeah. There'll be 13 people out there looking forward to hearing me talk.
Thanks, Matt.